E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Thomila Folcher Rothensha. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. I heard tell of a man who, with having worn undersized shoes for years and years, of a day discovered a bigger size to be a much more comfortable fit for him. Imagine, he had all that long time thought the smaller size was the correct size for him. I think we could say the same of ideas, in that often have we confined them within certain boundaries, believing them at this time to be a comfortable fit, only to come to the realization of a day that all the while they have been of the wrong size. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "The Druids and the Christians, though great people, were, he thought, at the same time unbelievably foolish, in that in a perverse continuance they loved vanity, and sought after lying, empty fancies, vain conceits, and a plethora of fabrications. They attempted to make of his honour among the bright a jest, and of his well-knownness among everyday people a mockery. They resented that he could love truths other than the truths being put forth by they themselves. That he was a most serene person, a joyous contemplative, annoyed them a lot, as it contradicted everything they stood for. He, and with a goodly and courageous spirit, had in his youth not entered, had deliberately chosen to keep himself apart from their ideas, that he may culture his own unique treasure according to the ways of nature. Only by doing so could he guarantee the complete freedom of his thought. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, The Republic, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. Follow her close. Give her good watch, I pray you. Oh, this is the poison of deep grief. It springs all from her father's death. Oh, Gertrude, Gertrude, when sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions. First her father slain, next your son gone, and he most violent order of his own just removed. The people muddled, thick and unwholesome in their thoughts and whispers, for good Polonius's death, and we have done but greely and hugger-mugger to enter him, poor Ophelia, divided from ourself and her fair judgment, without the which we are pictures or mere beasts last, and as much containing as all these. Her brother is in secret come from France, feeds on his wonder, keeps himself in clouds, and wants not buzzers to infect his ear with pestilent speeches of his father's death, wherein necessity of matter beggared, will nothing stick our person to arraign in ear and ear. Oh, my dear Gertrude, this, like to a murdering piece, in many places gives me superfluous death. Alack, what noise is this? Where are my Switzers? Let them guard the door. What is the matter? Save yourself, my lord. The ocean overpeering of his list eats not the flats with more impetuous haste than young Leatus in a riotous head overbears your officers. The rabble call him lord, and as the world were now but to begin, antiquity forgot, custom not known, the ratifiers and props of every kind, they cry, choose we, Leatus shall be king. Caps, hands, and tongues applaud to the clouds, Leatus shall be king, Leatus king. How cheerfully on the false trail they cry. Oh, this is counter, you false Danish dogs. A reading from Plato's The Republic. I do not think that I misapprehend your meaning, Trashimachus, I replied, but still I cannot hear without amazement that you class injustice with wisdom and virtue, and justice with the opposite. Certainly I do so class them. Now, I said, you are on more substantial and almost unanswerable ground, for if the injustice which you are maintaining to be profitable had been admitted by you, as by others, to be vice and deformity, an answer might have been given to you on received principles. But now I perceive that you will call injustice honourable and strong, and to the unjust you will attribute all the qualities which were attributed by us before to the just, seeing that you do not hesitate to rank injustice with wisdom and virtue. You have guessed most infallibly, he replied. Then I certainly ought not to shrink from going through with the argument so long, as I have reason to think that you, Trashimachus, are speaking your real mind, for I do believe that you are now in earnest and are not amusing yourself at our expense. I may be in earnest or not, but what is that to you? To refute the argument is your business. Very true, I said. That is what I have to do. But will you be so good as answer yet one more question? Does the just man try to gain any advantage over the unjust? Far otherwise, if he did, he would not be the simple, amusing creature which he is. And would he try to go beyond just action? He would not. And how would he regard the attempt to gain an advantage over the unjust? Would that be considered by him as just or unjust? He would think it just, and would try to gain the advantage, but he would not be able. Whether he would or would not be able, I said, is not the point. My question is only whether the just man, while refusing to have more than another just man, would wish and claim to have more than the unjust. Yes, he would. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. Nor a three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, Humaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn? A king and queen of the Waterford Landry, wherewith finding themselves free from their responsibilities and cares, strolling together in the palace garden, when one said to the other, Can a man be compared to a woman? Why do you ask? I was just wondering, with looking at the sky and out across the land, for there are some similarities in them, but they are definitely not the same. It must be serendipity, for I too, with looking up at the sky and out across the land, was noticing that they, though being different, hold many similarities. And with following on with this thought, I was just about to ask you, can a woman be compared to a man, when you put your question to me? I think we will have to admit, there are many similarities between us, yet we are not the same. We are different from each other. Without the sky and the land, we would have no world. Without we being betwixt the land and the sky, there would be no one to talk of them or of the world. Very true. Shall we say men may be compared to the sky and women to the land, or women to the sky and men to the land? It makes no difference for what we say or don't say. For the sky is still the sky, the land still the land, man still man, and woman still woman. Let's touch on equality for a moment, as it was something I overheard some of our ministers discussing the other day. What had they to say on it? They were trying to make the case that inequality is equality. Equality is inequality. And when they asked my opinion, I said, there is but equality, and that anything else is but a manipulating and a distorting of reality in an attempt to have power over each other. Sometimes I think our world is in language alone, we being external to it. Language is by nature confining. For instance, the word man or the word woman are merely appellations of a kind. Far are they removed from reality. Then, What shall we say is language useful for? On a lovely day like today, and in such fine charming company, is it not but a sweet toy for us to enjoy? Yes, indeed it is. A sweet toy for us to enjoy. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will day nightly ask life in abundance of yourself, and fully provided it will be. Remember whenever and wherever to bravely speak out on issues when you know quite well you ought to. Refuse to let yourself silence you. The upcoming repeal here on the Isle of Ireland of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution Act 1983, which acknowledges the right to life of the unborn with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, is such an issue in need of your courageous response. Say no on referendum day, Friday 25th of May, to the making of a law that would fast-track us as individuals and as a people to inhumanity. The beloved lives in the wombs of tomorrows will to us in their own way be eternally grateful and ever so proud of us. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes Monday to Friday and occasionally on the weekends. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseterDramaScripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.